whether you're a solo business or whether you, I mean, you might have a team of, I don't know, 20 or 30 people. But if we're still in a position where you've got that one person that is the main business person, the mindset of that person is so absolutely vital to the success of that business. It's number one, even in our 3Ms, we do mindset first. Because having that person in a place where they can set goals, where they're motivated to take action, where they're inspired by what's happening around them, and where they're leading the way for the team that is around them. And to do that, they need to be able to take a lot of action, be very motivated, and look after themselves so they don't burn out. That's really the basis of getting everything else done in that business.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with another episode. Yes, it's that time of week again. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust you enjoyed our most recent interviews with Peter Cook of The Thought Leaders and with Rob Brayman of Cogent Analytics. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guests today, Alicia and James Crook from Massage Champions. Together, Alicia and James provide coaching, mentoring, and training for massage therapists to help them run and grow a successful business, as well as having the lifestyle that they choose. They are the authors of Fully Booked Without Burnout, A Massage Therapist's Guide, and they run the Six Figure Therapists program. Alicia and James also host their own podcast, The Business of Massage and Wellness. Today's episode is brought to you by the Transformational Marketing Hub, where you'll find a host of free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. You can access the Transformational Marketing Hub by visiting innovabiz.co/VIP. Go check it out. It's free to join, and if you're a member already, just log in to get your resources. In our discussion today, Alicia and James talk to me about confirming your training product with clients before producing the entire content. Start with one module and then test if it actually sells. We talked about getting ideas from clients by making sales calls and asking good questions. And Alicia and James shared their three pillars of any successful business: mindset, marketing, and mechanics. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Alicia and James Crook. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from very close to where I am right now in Geelong, Australia, Alicia and James Crook from Massage Champions. It's a business coaching service for massage therapists. Welcome to the podcast, Alicia and James. It's a great privilege to have you as my guests.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, Liz Watson, who was our guest on episode 183 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we interview you. So a big hello to Liz.
Yeah, great. We know Liz quite well. So it's really good to be able to connect with him here as well.
And of course, I've known you for some time, so when Les suggested that, I thought, why hadn't I thought of that myself to have both of you on the podcast and talk to you about your business? Because you've combined your experience and knowledge from running your own businesses, and one of those was a massage business, the other one was a digital marketing business, to now teach and coach massage therapists to help them grow their business and do that in a way that gives them both a profitable, sustainable business and a lifestyle that they can choose, which is great. I really love that. So I'm really looking forward to unpacking that journey some more with you today, but give us a little bit of a high-level background of where you've come from and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, sure. Look, I got into massage when I was quite young due to a back injury that I had. I had a back condition called scoliosis, which is curvature of the spine. Massage was a big part of my journey while I was on the waiting list for surgery for that when I was 15, and then my subsequent healing journey after that. And so it gave me, I think it got me really interested in how I could recreate that for other people. And I left school halfway through year 10 to get a job to pay for my massage course, and really just went in on day one wanting, you know, a multidisciplinary clinic. I knew exactly what I wanted. I was just really waiting for time to catch up. I think reality hit me with a sledgehammer when I actually decided to go into my own business with just all of that naivety and excitement and enthusiasm, but not one single clue around how to run the business thing side of things. We had two one-hour classes in our whole 2 years on business. Very helpful, but not very useful. And had to really rely on trial and error while I was building it, starting in our land room for at home and kind of building up to eventually where we had 9 staff, an osteopath, a naturopath, a life coach renting rooms from us. And at the same time, James was running his digital marketing agency.
Yeah, so actually my story is not that different. I started just working by myself as a freelancer, doing web design. I'd studied journalism at uni, and the whole thing, this was in the 90s, the whole thing was like newspapers are dying because of the internet, you know, there's the big news at the time. So I sort of took that as a sign and started doing some internet-based stuff, started building websites for people, and basically just sort of fell into that job because I loved it, because I found that there was a need there for that to happen. And after a little while it was like freelance work was fun, you know, but it goes up and down quite a lot. And I remember it was like we're married, we're looking to buy a house, have kids, all that. And I'm like, yeah, I've got to either take this a bit more seriously or go get a real job. That was really my decision at that point. So I ended up taking it a bit more seriously, building the business up into a nice little, we call it digital marketing. It started off as web design, but then as Facebook grew, social media was such a big part of how people communicate. Mobile phones, that whole revolution of communication happened. We really ended up just doing a lot more broadly digital marketing. And what was really great about that is it gave me a huge insight. I literally worked with hundreds of clients every year, most of them small businesses, to see sort of behind the curtain of what was working for people and what wasn't, see the reality of what businesses look like behind the scenes. And it really just put me in a great stead to be able to then move into being able to do some education and some training with people around what actually does work. It's not just for massage therapists, but for small business more broadly. A huge part of my sort of background has always been that training and that sort of sharing of knowledge of what's working and what's not. So, after running that business for 13 or 14 years, ended up selling that and moving full-time to join Leash in this business where we do training and coaching, as you said, specifically for massage therapists, but specifically around the business side of things. We don't do any kind of hands-on practical treatment. It's how to do marketing, how to do business systems, how to get your mindset right to think like a business leader. And I've been really loving this journey. It's probably all the things that were my favorite parts of running an agency, all the connection with clients and training and cool stuff to do with people. It's all of those really cool bits just boiled down into now that's all I do is all that really fun stuff.
So, yeah. There's lots of really great little bits in that story that I love. I mean, you mentioned, Alicia, about spending what was it a day or so on the business side of massage therapy. So people are given the expertise to do the massage and give the treatment and help their clients, but they're not given the means to actually build a successful business because that's a core to actually being there for their clients. Mm-hmm. And then looking at the, James, you mentioned the ups and downs of running a business, which typically in a service business you do have a lot, and I've run a marketing business as well, and you tend to have that. So you've kind of built a business now that doesn't have those ups and downs because it's based on education and an ongoing need that you filled.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it doesn't have any ups and downs. It certainly still has some challenges, but I guess.
Well, I mean, in terms of cash flow. Type, you know, you finish a project and then you have to go out and do the marketing to get a new project on board. I didn't mean challenges. I'll explore those more.
And what we do have now is, I guess what we have is something that's much more scalable. We can work with multiple clients at the one time much more easily. So although cash flow still does go up and down depending on how many students we have coming through, how many clients we're working with, it's much easier to control the back end of that. Whereas as you probably found yourself too, Jürgen, in a business where we were essentially selling time, like the people in a digital marketing agency do the work. You know, I had designers that would create websites and programmers and marketers. And so if I sold too much, if we got too many clients, it would actually produce problems in the back end of delivery. So we've kind of, the business we've got now, it's much easier to be able to serve a whole group of people much more easily. And that's part of the beauty of it, is that it works really, really well. And the impact we can have on those people is probably even bigger than what we did before. So it's a win-win for everybody. It works really well.
Yeah. I'm curious as to what, you mentioned challenges, but I guess that initially transitioning from particularly the massage therapy practice as a business to then basically changing your client base from people looking for massage to massage therapists wanting to learn about business. So what were some of the steps you took to make that transition?
I was really clear right from the start that I didn't want to do one-on-one coaching. You know, I'd spent 16 years in a massage room spending my time one-on-one with people, and I wanted it to be scalable and leveraged, and I didn't really want to be just coaching people that I knew. I wanted to work with people all over Australia. So I built it with the end in mind, in that I'm like, I want something that I can, what are all the things that I know that I've needed when I was growing, if I had have done them all in quick succession, would have gotten me the quickest or the furthest in my business. And so I sort of broke down all the different moving pieces that I needed and that we had implemented to get the results that we had in the clinic, and then looked at how I could deliver that online or through an online platform to be able to get it in front of lots of therapists. Like we've said, often therapists are great at the hands-on side of things, but, you know, I know for me that the business side of things was lacking. It's no different. I used to teach the part of the diploma, and I know what they were learning is still things like letterbox drops and stuff that's just so old school and so not helpful. And not, I mean, sure, if you're going to do a letterbox drop, do it, but, you know, come back home and go for a letterbox drop while you're waiting for your Facebook ad to get approved, or, you know, write a blog or something.
Do a live
like
of
that.
Yourself sticking, yeah. sticking a thing
yeah,
in
yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, I think for me, I was having business coaching at the time, which was really great. It was with a coach who had worked in corporate. One of the challenges that I faced was that she'd never run a business besides the coaching business that she had. And so it was a very different, her experience and knowledge was not really based on a service-based industry in a regional area. It was more based on a big corporate corporation in Melbourne throughout the country. So what I wanted to take was what I was learning through mindset was actually be able to apply that with the business skills and strategies that I'd learned to be able to take that to a wider audience.
Hmm. And so you mentioned mindset. I mean, mindset is really important in all business, but I'm guessing that making that transition, it's probably even more critical, because I don't know how it was at the beginning, but I imagine that until you get that first sign up or the first couple of sign ups and you've got doubts in your mind as to, is this going to fly? Is this going to actually turn into a sustainable business in the long run? So how did you deal with that in terms of mindset, and or were you absolutely convinced that this was the right thing to do?
I think I was convinced it was the right thing to do. Whether it was going to be successful or not was still another story. So it was like, look, I wasn't losing anything by starting it. So I was still running my clinic. I was still treating. There was still money coming in the door. I still had all my client base. So it was, I hadn't sort of changed any of those fundamental parts of my business when I stepped into the coaching. And I thought, look, I'm just going to give this a red hot go. I did a program that taught me how to scale it, how to market it, how to sell it, how to leverage it, how to charge for it. So it had to be premium, so it had to be $1,000 or more. And this is going from somebody who used to struggle to charge more than $75 was a lot of growth that went in there. And I think the course was something like how to scale to six figures as a coach. And I was like, oh, my goodness, $100,000 as a coach. I'm not sure I could do that, but maybe in a year I could, you know, that could be possible. And so I just started. It was like just I just set my mind to it. I took lots of action probably in that six-week period. So the way I created the course was I mapped out what I thought was needed. I built week one. I made sales. I had five people paying me to come in. While they were doing week one, I built week two. While they were doing week two, I built week three, and so on. By about week five, because I was still working full time, still training. We have a couple of kids.
Was full on. It was. When Lisa says it sounds well, it doesn't sound easy, but she makes it sound light. 6 weeks was the busiest, most hectic, most stressful 6 weeks of her entire life.
Yeah.
I'm happy to say that.
Yeah, it was really crazy. It was good fun, but really crazy. So I think I have one day in week five called the catch-up day because I didn't have any content built for that day. I just literally ran out of time. So I would spend most Sundays. I think one Sunday I spent from 6 o'clock in the morning till midnight with a half an hour snooze at the desk building the course.
Every night you'd be up from like after the kids are in bed, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. sometimes just building this course.
Up the next day.
But I think for me what that time was about was really like the power of small commitments to make a big thing happen, because it wasn't like Leish went in and said, right, I'm going to start a coaching business by spending 6 weeks working massively. It was more about what do I want? What do I need? And then there was like a little commitment of, well, I'm going to decide that I want to be a coach, and looking enough, I'm going to look for someone to help me. I think this is what I need. I need to work on something a bit scalable. Then you joined a program, and once you're paying for something, then of course, especially for Lee, she's very committed, does the work, and the pathway itself sort of laid out in front of you. This is what you do next. You build week one. So that's just a bit of a commitment. Then if people buy it, now I have to build the rest, you know. So it kind of like step by step, the commitment rises as those decisions are made as you go. And so much kudos to Lee. She just continued to step up as those steps got bigger and bigger. She's just continued to grow and grow. Now, we have rebuilt probably, three quarters of that program. Don't get me wrong. It's not something that she built in 6 weeks has lasted 2.5 years or 3 years.
We call it the 80-20 rule, progress over perfection, and that's how we built it.
Yeah.
And then we've gone back and perfected it over time.
Yeah. We continue to.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things there that I really love. I mean, I love that whole model of, you know, you could have spent 6 weeks or however long you decided to take up front, develop the whole thing and then go out and sell it. And, you know, the risk there, of course, is that you discover that nobody wants to buy it. So when you just do the first week of the program, and were that to happen, at least you can then pivot very early and decide, well, I need to change something because that obviously wasn't what people want. But as James said, once people buy, then you're committed, then you keep building it and you build the minimum viable product. So the people that are on there as your first kind of cohort, if you like, they're helping. Yeah, they're helping you build it and helping you define it, and they get rewarded for it, presumably. And then the second launch of the program, you build in what you've learned through that first launch, and of course you keep building in new information.
I think it was really, I had no time for any kind of analysis through that 6 weeks because it was just so chaotic. I remember chatting to one of our ladies at the end and said, right, what, how did you go? You know, I'm like, I'm just going to throw mud at a wall, see what sticks. And she said, well, I was seeing 4 clients a week and now I'm seeing 17 clients a week, so I'm at 90% capacity. And I went, what did you do? She's like, well, everything you told me, which is pretty intense because it's 17 years worth of knowledge in 6 weeks. So she implemented everything and got rapid results, which was what I had, but certainly that was what I wanted. But I had no idea that that was what, you know, the 80-20 rule was going to get
us.
That it would actually work like that. I was blown away. And I'm like, and we just noticed consistently that the people who go through the program, even in the early stages, whoever puts in the work, whoever does what we put in there, it worked and they get great results. And it's still continuing to today. So there's really been no reason to pivot or change the program that fundamentally it's still the same. We've just added to modules or updated modules as things have changed, or we've gotten more knowledge and things like that. But basically the program is the way that it was.
Mostly, for the most part, topically, it's the same sort of thing. Yeah. We've redone a lot of videos, training.
Took out some of the yawns because, you know.
From the original.
The 1 and 2 a.m. clips.
I think what was really challenging about what I did, which I didn't think of at the time, but at the time there was no other business coaches for massage therapists in Australia. There was a couple of other people doing mentoring, but no one specifically for business. And what it meant was that I not only had to try and, you know, sell my thing, that on my course that I was promoting, but I actually had to sell the concept and idea of business coaching for massage therapists. And I think it probably took a good 2 years to start to make some headway. And now with heaps of different stuff that we put out, lots of content marketing and stuff, obviously with someone in a marketing background, it does help. We are now getting some incredible feedback. Even this morning, we run a support network on a closed Facebook group, and someone just said, "Thank you so much for everything you guys are doing. You know, I'm really comfortable charging what I'm charging now, and I just, every time I doubt it, I think about you guys, and I just love the way that you're changing the industry," which is certainly not something that we look for at all, but it is really, I think it really is a testament to the work that we've done, but also the team that we have, that we are actually changing the way massage therapists do business in Australia. And that is really exciting, considering thinking about, you know, what I was creating this 6 weeks, you know, course however many years ago, is like, wow, this is sort of the other end of where all of that has led to.
But I think, I mean, I've known you for a little while, so I think where you were coming from was actually delivering a service that you knew was needed, that you missed when you were going through starting up your business and establishing your massage business. And then, you know, coming from a point of view of, I want to deliver, I think I have the knowledge now and I want to share that, pay it forward, deliver that knowledge and serve massage therapists out there, which essentially is the industry. So I think that's a natural consequence, that, you know, if you put something out there like that, that's a good quality, that it has that impact longer term. So well done.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about the six-figure therapist program, just at a high level, because I'm fascinated. You know, you've got three pillars to it: mindset, marketing, and mechanics. And I think as a metaphor, it could be something really good for any business.
Yeah, it definitely is. We've actually got two different programs. So six-figure therapist is the one that goes for 12 months. It's like a much more sort of sophisticated program. People who are growing beyond just being a solo massage therapist will normally step into that one. Program,
so that's your second stage, your advanced stage, is it, from the program?
People, yeah, some people do move from the smaller program into that one. Other people just sort of enter at that level if that's where they are already. But the core program that we created first, which is the six-week one, is called Fully Booked Without Burnout, and it's still our most popular program and the one that probably 80 or 90% of our clients would go through. So it's quite intense, and it's really got that core promise of taking people who literally just don't have enough clients or feel a bit overwhelmed by how to run a business, taking them through the steps to create sort of a framework of a really nicely running, beautiful little massage business that is sustainable, that has enough clients, and it's got a really a therapist at the head of it that is looking after themselves and feeling good. And both programs, we still base around those three M's: mindset, marketing, and mechanics. And definitely from the work I've done with like hundreds of other small businesses, I would absolutely say you're right. Those are really integral to any kind of business, especially one that is small enough that still has a single business owner as the main driver of the business. So whether you're a solo business or whether you might have a team of, I don't know, 20 or 30 people, but if we're still in a position where you've got that one person that is the main business person, the mindset of that person is so absolutely vital to the success of that business. It's number one, even in our three M's, we do mindset first, because having that person in a place where they can set goals, where they're motivated to take action, where they're inspired by what's happening around them, and where they're leading the way for the team that is around them, And to do that, they need to be able to take a lot of action, be very motivated, and look after themselves so they don't burn out. That's really the basis of getting everything else done in that business. And then we look at marketing. Is that sort of engine room of growth? You need to be doing marketing. If you just don't have enough clients, then that's marketing's role. And mechanics we look at as the kind of systemization behind the scenes, whether it's software and IT or whether it's getting some help around you, like outsourcing receptionists, that kind of stuff, right through to being organized with numbers and maybe scaling by the time you're ready to hire or run workshops, that kind of stuff. We see all of that as part of mechanics that kind of runs behind the scenes. So when all three of them are working together, you've got a really great business with a thriving person at the head.
Hmm. Yeah, and as you say, it's applicable to any business, really. Obviously, there's
definitely specific, the way it might. Yeah, the way it might be implemented might look different for different businesses. Yeah. Marketing a massage therapist might be quite different to marketing for an accountant or a bricklayer or whatever, but it's still marketing, right? It's still one of the big three.
And I think the reason that we talk about six figures is because so many massage therapists, most massage therapists that we talk to are not driven by money. And I understand that because neither was I back in the day. Didn't want to charge for what I was doing, had a lot of limiting beliefs around money. And the reason that we talk about six figures as a massage therapist is because through the research we've done, many massage therapists are earning less than minimum wage. And it's because they don't believe that it's possible. Some of them don't believe it's possible. Some of them don't believe that they're worth it. Some of them struggle to charge what they're worth. And one of the big things that we talk about is how to actually make that happen. And so, you know, when people are reading our book, it's like we just talk about a really simple formula that if you're charging $90 a session, which is very standard for massage, for an hour of massage in Australia, you're seeing 25 clients a week, so you're being very consistent, and you're working 48 weeks of the year, which is giving you 4 weeks annual leave, it equals $108,000. Now, not to say that everybody, A, wants that, or everybody, B, gets to that, but what we want to show them is that it's actually possible to earn a really decent income from being a therapist. And obviously, when they're working at that capacity, like when people have gotten to that place or even, you know, three quarters of that, the impact that they're making on their community's health is phenomenal. And who they show up as, who the confidence they have to talk about what they do, to connect with other practitioners, doctors and allied health workers, etc., is absolutely just profound because they've got the confidence to do it as opposed to, oh, I'm just a. And a lot of therapists feel like they're just a because they've got an undergraduate degree, you know, qualification. So it might be a cert for a diploma or advanced diploma. And it's still taught from the perspective of, but I'm just a. And what we love to see when people are really embodying the knowledge that they've got and realizing that, you know, in every other health profession, massage therapists generally get to spend a whole hour actually physically touching another human being. And in our brilliant, you know, connected world of social media and the internet, we're often disconnected physically from one another and we don't have a lot of physical touch. Massage is such a key part of that. And that's what it's kind of the six figures as a therapist is sort of the outworking of all of that really cool stuff, just to help them see what's possible and what they're actually capable of with the current skills and tools that they have.
Yeah, well, that raises an interesting point. I'm sort of curious about that because I'm on a little bit of a mission or a, I don't know, it's a quest, if you like, to get marketing back to a little bit more human again. You know, you talked about actually massage and touching another human being and, of course, making a difference to that human being. And I kind of think that with a lot of the online tools that we have these days and marketing automation that's available to us that can do amazing things, that there's a big risk and that some people have gone down this path of losing the connection part of it. So maybe that's a question for James as the marketer. What's your view on that and how do you go about doing your own marketing in a way that you get that connection? Because I know community is a very important part of your whole business platform.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I would say, You're right. The marketing that we're sort of taught, pop marketing, is now quite disconnected. It's very much about rhythmic sending of messages, email, even social media is not as social quite often if we're just taking it the easy way. And so to be able to set yourself apart, to have more personality and more actual person, more face, more visibility and vulnerability of who you are actually through those channels is, number one, it connects way better. People are much more likely to connect with you as a person if they're seeing an authentic person. But B, it stands out. You know, we get out into people's feeds. We do a lot of live video. We talk about all sorts of random stuff as well as just being on message with our actual business message. We're sharing all sorts of things. Leisha's got lives she does down the beach with the kids running around in the background. Like, we're very human in the way that we connect through our marketing. And I think that's the way that especially small business can make a big impact. You're never going to see a bank using really personal marketing like that. Your local bank manager is never going to be getting on Facebook, taking photos of himself and, I don't know, being at home with his kids. But a local service business owner, a local product business, they can get onto Facebook, onto Instagram. They can be doing lives. They can be messaging people personally. And it's so different as a consumer. We feel much more connected with a business if we know the person who runs it, if we feel like we know the person that runs it. So the more we're able to kind of share, still got to be within that kind of realm of professional sharing. We don't want to be oversharing, but it is sharing the kind of professional persona that we have and sort of literally lifting up the curtain a little bit and showing stuff that happens behind the scenes, not taking yourself too seriously, just being able to have a bit of fun, be confident in who you are. It does make a huge difference in marketing. And especially we see that with our clients as well all the time. When we're doing Facebook training, one of the questions I always ask people in the room is, what has been your most successful recent post on Facebook? Like, I just ask a room full of people. And no one ever says, oh, it's that really technical diagram I did of a muscle chart and a blah, 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 blah. No one ever says that. The most successful posts are always the ones where it's like, oh, it was actually so funny, but it was me and my dog down the beach. And I'm like, I don't think that's funny. That's what everyone says. Mm. It's the personal things. It's the behind the scenes. It's where we get to connect with you as an individual that makes me feel connected, like I am part of your community and you're part of my community and we're together here in this place. That's really who I want to be able to buy with. Massage is quite a personal service too. It's like literally I go into someone's room, I'm going to lie down on a table and they're going to put their hands on me for an hour. I want to feel like I trust you as a person, not just some big sort of faceless organization. So it is really powerful to show your face, to become familiar. Yeah, personal marketing is where it's at. I totally agree.
We sometimes joke with them that it's not called Logo Book, it's called Facebook. So put your face on.
Yeah, that's really right. And social media sometimes isn't very social. It's kind of like common sense, which isn't all that common. Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you've also got a podcast, and I was curious as to what prompted you to start the podcast. Is that all part of the positioning of your course, or is there another...
We sort of think of our big mission as raising the professional standard of massage in Australia. And as we raise the standard of massage therapists and their understanding of business, not only do we help those individual people, but the industry as a whole becomes smarter, becomes wealthier, and that gives them more impact on the health of the nation of Australia. So we do a fair bit of work one-on-one with individual clients. You know, that's what pays us. But as part of our kind of bigger mission, we also do a lot of just open, free training. And the real purpose behind the podcast for me is not so much to give people actual advice or education, but it's to expose other massage therapists in the industry that are doing well and just getting them to share a bit of their story. Because what would happen is so many times I would be on the phone to a massage therapist and they're kind of the hidden belief that they have somewhere in their brain is that massage therapy is never going to pay. I can't really make a business out of this. You know, I just do it because I love it, but I'm always going to have my other job down at Coles or whatever. Like this was the kind of story we'd hear quite often. But then I'd also be talking to people who are like, oh, no, this is my full-time job. Like, I don't jump up and down and song and dance about it because I'm not like that. But there was a heap of people out there that were doing good work, that were running successful businesses. But so many of the new therapists to the industry just didn't see that. So a big part of the purpose of our podcast was just to get massage therapists on there and interview them who were doing well, not because they were our clients. Most of them are not. They're just people that we've met along the way that are already doing great work. So I'd interview them and ask them, where did you start? Was it scary? And then I'll go, oh, yeah, at the start, I really didn't know if I would make it work. But now, you know, 5 years later, great business. It's going great guns. And I'm like, that's awesome. That's exactly the story that I want our new people to hear, because it means that they've got some hope and some expectation to stay in the industry, to continue to build up the businesses, to continue to serve the people around them. And so that's really the purpose behind our podcast. I do a little bit of, we interview some other suppliers and I know that the association presidents and that kind of stuff. Like there's a little bit of that more sort of community building stuff in there. But the main purpose is honestly just sort of hearing stories and exposing the success that massage therapists can have in business.
So celebrating their success and also presenting them as a model that others might be able to aspire to.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, this is fascinating. I could go on for ages, but I'm watching the clock here and noticing that we're getting on through our interview. So I think it's time we moved on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round designed to help the audience, and they're primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I've got five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that will inspire the listener to go away and do something awesome today.
Of course. We'll have to fight over who's going to answer each one.
All right. I'll take two answers. So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I reckon innovation comes from a place of being creative. And for me, I'm far more creative when I'm not in the business, when I'm not like day-to-day doing stuff. So my number one thing would be, honestly, take more holidays. Like I do my best thinking over the summer holidays, dead serious. I take a bit of time off to relax, Christmas, family, all that, super fun. And then it's like there's still a week before I'm back at work, but I can't help myself. I'm up late every night planning out what the year's going to look like, getting excited about new things. And because I've sort of stepped back from the day-to-day running of stuff, it's a time when I can be way more innovative and way more creative with what I want to create. And maybe have a few drinks. The Christmas drinks doesn't hurt either. Is that going to be your tip?
No, it wasn't. No, I think it's great. I think you've answered it really well. It's true.
Yeah, that's good. Well, then I'm taking your advice and heading to Fiji in a couple of weeks, but that's actually business. But it is in the same spirit, getting away from the day-to-day running of the business, different environment, sitting on the beach, having a few drinks and coming up with great creative ideas.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas or new products?
I think for me, one of the best things that I've done for new ideas is actually sales calls, because when I'm doing a sales call, and especially in the early days when someone would be like, oh, you know, yeah, I know you help people get more clients, but I need help with this. And so while I was doing my sales calls, I would have a little booklet that I would just jot down ideas of what it was that people needed, what they were looking for, what was their language that they had around it. It was kind of like market research. It's how I developed topics for webinars, and it's still even now how we develop new ideas, because we just listening to your customers, listening to your clients and hear what they have to say, take on board the feedback. I think they have a really different perspective on stuff as the end user. So we certainly ask them and get feedback. We also have a couple of what we call secret squirrels that we we message and reach out to. And the reason we have them is because James and I have about 4 trillion new ideas a year, and not all of them are great. And so we run the best of the ideas by these guys and say, hey, this is what we're thinking. What do you think? And they give us some feedback in, yeah, that'd work really great, or no, thank you, or that's a terrible idea. What were you thinking?
So their actual message is the idea. They're part of the industry.
Yeah, so I think listening is really important.
Yeah, that's I love that. That's sales calls is talking to customers. Again, it's one of those common sense things. People tend not to do it all that much, which is a sad state. But, and then testing ideas and getting feedback is great. So is there a resource that you use most often?
I think that I have modelled this heavily from somebody that we both know, but one of my favourite tools or systems for productivity is the old post-it notes and figuring out, playing the what-if game. I think for me, I utilise this all the time with myself and my clients. I am very visual, so there's lots of things up in our office, but if we need to create a new system for something, or we're looking at where we could innovate, you know, we get different coloured post-it notes, stick them up on the wall, categorise them maybe on a sheet of paper or something, and go, right, these are the good ideas, these are the not so great ideas, and these are the ones we'll probably never use, but let's just put them up anyway and just keep going and going and going. And then, you know, usually about eight, you know, maybe 4 or 5 post-it notes in, when you're going, oh, I don't think I've got anything else. And then you just wait and you wait and you trust the process. And all of a sudden, that's when the good ideas come. When your first ideas are done, I reckon the innovation comes after that.
Yeah. Hmm. And I reckon then the way that that turns into being productive is through, like, we have a quite a strategic process for quarterly planning and breaking that down into monthly tasks and then weekly tasks. So we actually teach this to our clients as well, but we use a very kind of rhythmic flow of getting things done from list to list to list. So setting big goals for quarters, breaking that down into what needs to be done each month, and then looking at what do I need to do this week to get there. And when you put those two things together, the kind of big picture, planning out what those big tasks are going to be for the quarter, and then figuring out how to get there step by step, it's so productive. It's just absolutely killer.
That's it.
Moving the business forward.
Because awesome. I think you tend to, if I find myself looking at funny cats too much on Facebook, I can look at my steps to success. What am I doing this week? Right. And have you finished that? No. It's only Tuesday, Leash, so it's best that you actually have a look at your steps and what could you work on right now? What's the number one thing you need to work on?
And you get to tick them off as you're going through the week.
Or highlight them if you need.
Yeah, that's, I love that. I mean, I'm a fan of, I've got whiteboards here in the office. I love using those. I do use post-it notes. I typically use post-it notes when I'm with other people. It seems to work really well there. But on my, and then breaking down the tasks from sort of annual goals to quarterly goals and then down to weekly and even daily. And I've got my weekly board that I put up and tick off, and at the top of that it says, is what you're doing right now moving the goals forward or moving it towards the goals? Because I don't tend to look at cats that much, but I do love to do distraction.
As we all do.
Yeah. All right. What's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
So I reckon the number one thing that keeps people on track is accountability. So rather than being like a specific tool, honestly, accountability can happen in all sorts of different ways. But I know for our clients, we get them to report at the start of a week what their intention is for the week. And then at the end of the week, they have to report back and tell us what they did, whether they got there or not. And even though that's only a small bit of accountability, it all happens online and it's just some coach that lives on the other side of the country from them. Even just having someone that they know is going to watch what they do and tell them that they need to do this stuff, it still makes it meaningful enough for them to like sometimes double or triple the productivity that they've got from there. And for us in our business, we do the same kind of thing with each other. It's one of the great things about working together, that kind of rhythm and flow I was talking about of setting monthly and quarterly goals. We hold each other accountable to have we done our steps this week? Did we get to that point? And we can look at each other and ask those questions with honesty. And that's sometimes a little bit tricky when you're married to your business partner, but it's part of what we've had to go through to be able to get this thing to work. It's accountability, whatever it happens to look like for you, accountability is the biggest thing to be able to stay on track, I reckon.
Yeah, that's great advice. I like the approach to the coaching clients of, okay, what are you going to do this week? All right, there's the list, and then come back at the end of the week, how are we doing in those things? Yeah.
Yeah, did you do them? I'm not telling them what to do. They're setting their own intention. And I always say to them, look, the way to win at this game is just only write things on the list that you know you're going to do for the week. Don't tell me things that's too many, because then you're not going to get them done. But make sure that you're putting steps on this that are going to move your business forward every week. Tell me what you can do and then do them. That's the secret to it. Once you've done them, you feel good, because I'm going to give you a pat on the back and your business is actually moving forward. Sweet. Everybody wins.
Yeah, and the idea of writing them down and sharing it with somebody else is already a commitment, isn't it? Rather than saying, I might get to that sometime.
Yeah, exactly right. That's great.
All right, what's the number one thing you think anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
I have a really cool quote that sits above my computer by Marianne Williamson, and the start of it is, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is actually powerful beyond measure. And I think that when people know their truth and walk in their truth, it is really easy to see when people are committed to walking that out. And I think that the businesses that stick and how we can differentiate ourselves really effectively is to know what it is that you stand for and just continue to stand for that. You know, like Brené Brown talks a lot about being in the arena, you know, like the Teddy Roosevelt quote. It's like the man in the arena. It's like just be in the arena. It doesn't matter what gets kicked at you. It doesn't matter what happens. Just stand in your truth, because when you live that, that's your light that's shining, and that does, it automatically differentiates you from other people, because you're not walking somebody else's truth. You're not walking somebody else's why. You're walking your own why.
Yeah, that's great advice. And just for the listener who might be listening to that and say, I've heard that before, and certainly a lot of my guests have said, be yourself and be true to yourself, which is along the lines of that message. But when you're actually in that state, it is amazing to experience it.
It's like everything's aligned. It's like you're in flow. You're showing up consistently in your business. I mean, for us, our mission is to empower therapists and give them clarity. That's why we do everything that we do. It's why we train our staff. It's why we have a podcast and a support network and a YouTube channel and, you know, do all the stuff that we do, is to ultimately be able to empower them and give them clarity to be able to be the truth, be the light that they need to be in their community. So in order for us to do that, we have to show up and be the light in our community and be the change that we want to see in our own lives. And so I think when you're committed to that, when you're doing it, you don't have to work really hard at it. It just happens, and the opportunities start to flow. And, well, yes, you know, originally we had to do quite a lot of hustle to get where we are. You know, we don't live, that's just, it's not sustainable. We don't live like that now. We actually just live and be and just, you know, connect with the people that we want to connect with and make a difference and an impact.
Well, great. Thanks, Alicia and James. This has been really great. Really enjoyed this, exploring some more about your business, which I haven't had actually taken the time to do before in this level of detail. So it's been wonderful. Now, where can people reach out and find out more about your programs and even connect with you and say thank you for what you've shared today?
For sure. We're all over social media, of course. We've got a website. If you look for massagechampions.com, that's the website, or probably Facebook is where we're most active on social media. The Facebook page is actually called Alicia Crook, Business Coaching for Massage Therapists. But if you search Massage Champions, you'll still find it. And either of those places is really great to get in touch. We do put a lot of content through Facebook, as well as being fairly active with messaging and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, very welcome to answer questions and open to connecting that way.
All right, that's great. We'll put links to both of those in the show notes for this episode. Now, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation?
I think it's about knowing your outcome, knowing what it is that you want to stand for, and then taking the action towards it. You are the average sum of the five closest people to you, so choose wisely when it comes to your leadership mentors and do the mindset work needed to help you get where you want to go.
And I'm going to say take action. This is something that I bang on a lot about with our clients, because it's something that I have to work on in myself as well. But for me, often if I have a big decision to make, or if I can't see clearly what direction to go in, I go into my head quite a lot, and I spend a lot of time kind of churning through ideas and trying to sift through what's going to be the best path to take. But the reality is, the longer it takes to make a decision, that has a cost as well. So it's like the decision-making time is actually wasted time. It's time that you're not doing stuff. So the quicker you can take action and implement, the quicker you learn, the quicker you get results, and everything just happens far faster if you move, if you take action more quickly.
Mm, that's wonderful advice. And of course, you modeled that when you started the Massage Champions business, because you take action. And I think the risk is with most of us that are kind of keen to do really good quality work is we get into our head and we worry that it's not quite ready yet or not quite good enough, and we don't take that action. Whereas if you get it, you know, good enough to test in the marketplace, take the action with a view to I'm going to improve this, it's going to be better as we go forward, then you can take that action.
Exactly. And people wait for clarity before they're going to move, but it's actually the wrong way around. It should be flipped.
Mm.
Action precedes clarity. When you take action, suddenly you realize if you were right or not, right? It's the quickest way to figure out if an action is right or not is to do it. And then you know with 100% certainty you've actually done it, so you know whether it was right or not. Whereas yeah, you right. can spend much time ahead trying to figure it out. You never really 100% know until you've taken that action. Action precedes clarity.
Yeah, love that. All right, well, finally, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast and why?
Look, I'm going to say at the moment we are reading this book called Profit First. I don't know if you've read this
okay,
a
yeah, I have read it a little while ago, yeah. Is it Michael Mikolowicz?
Yeah. I'm not sure how you pronounce his surname, Mike Mikolowicz. And it's a book about finances, about how to make sure that there's profit in your business right from the start. We've been taking some great stuff from it ourselves, and we've also been introducing the concept in a slightly altered way to a lot of our clients as well to run through their massage businesses. So I guess for me that's been quite formative in our kind of training and our experience over the last couple of months. And I reckon he'd be a great interview. He's got a really good voice, really good stories to tell. If you could get him on the podcast, it would be amazing.
Yeah. Do you know him personally?
No. I've read his book a few times.
Okay. I actually am in a community where he has presented a webinar, so I might be able to get some contact. So we'll see if we can get Michael on the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Alicia and James, for sharing your time and your insights so generously with us today. I'm really excited to have spent this time with you, and I really enjoyed this a lot. So I wish you all the best for the future and for Massage Champions, and we'll definitely cross paths quite regularly since we're in the same neck of the woods.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that delightfully insightful conversation with Alicia and James and took something with you from what they shared with us. My highlights were their service mindset and addressing a need that Alicia saw in building her massage therapy business to helping other businesses with what she's learned along the way. And also using the principles of mindset, marketing, and mechanics in their own business. I'd love to know what you took away from Alicia and James' interview. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/massagechampions. That is MassageChampions. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/massagechampions. You'll also find contact information there for getting in touch with Alicia and James, as well as links to the Massage Champions website, the Fully Booked Without Burnout book, their podcast, and the other resources we spoke about in the conversation. Alicia and James suggested we interview Mike Mikolowicz, author of Profit First, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Mike, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Alicia and James Crook. Finally, I'd like to give a shout out to Linda Ugolo for her review of the InnovaBuzz podcast. She says, "Jürgen is a fabulous podcast host, bringing out what's most interesting and practical for listeners to get the best experience from each guest." Thank you, Linda. I'm glad that I was able to achieve that on the episode that you listen to, and that certainly is my aim to bring out the wonderful insights of the wonderful guests we have on the show. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/VIP to access the Transformational Marketing Hub and all its free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. Also, check out our Tales of Marketing Transformation show at talesofmarketingtransformation.com, where each episode will provide one valuable message to guide you on your journey of marketing transformation. And of course, tune in again next week to the InnovaBuzz podcast. We've got more fantastic guests lined up, including Andres Purdy of OutFunnel and Gigi Rosenberg, public speaking coach and author. Stay connected. Subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you'll make sure you'll never miss another episode. Head on over to innovabiz.co/subscribe. We'd also love you to leave us a review because what you think matters to us. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions or questions, then share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic Facebook community at the Tales of Marketing Transformation Facebook group. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMA. It's free to join. I hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.